Anyway, that was a great opening, Mike. Thank you. Because a lot of what he shared about what we're going to get into is really a very exciting topic. And I've been in the ministry and learning God's Word, and we'll continue to learn God's Word, hopefully, for another 30 years. But I think we were figuring it out the other day, and it was like 35 years or something like that, Barn, which is a long time. You know, my parents thought it was just a phase I was going through. And then they got involved in the fellowship, and then my niece, and then my sister, and some of my cousins. So obviously it's something that stuck in my life. But, you know, we've been, Mike talked about the teaching today is called the fellowship, our fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things that I think for my life, it's been something that I've been really thinking about and praying about to God, because you know, that relationship with God is the most important relationship we can have. And without that relationship with God, we wouldn't know His Word. We wouldn't know His heart. We wouldn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. So that definitely is the primary relationship in our life. But there's some verses of Scripture that I've read through the years about a relationship, a fellowship is what it's called, with Jesus Christ. And the last few months, I've really been thinking about that term. What is my fellowship with Jesus Christ? So let's go to 1 John. That's where we're going to start. And we'll probably end up there eventually. Just kidding. Sometime today. You guys are supposed to laugh. But I've read this, and Stephen Jeltima taught at our fellowship Thursday night, and it really blessed me, because when he was teaching, he went to 1 John for a couple of verses, and he said, that's my favorite book in the Bible. And that 1 John has always been one of my most favorite books to read, just to read. I go there just to get peaceful. And one of the cool things about this book in John is it really does talk about our fellowship with God, our fellowship with Jesus Christ, and our fellowship with one another, and the love that is supposed to encase all of those relationships. You know, one of the things that was stated is, if this isn't right, then this isn't going to be right. And that is the truth of God's Word. Where there's gossiping and there's anger and there's lust or jealousy or, you know, self-centeredness, when that is in play, it's because this isn't right. As an individual, this is not right, because that's not who we are. On the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit was placed in believers that believed God raised His Son from the dead and made Jesus Christ His Lord. And that Holy Spirit, that God in Christ in us, gives us the power not to go there. But because we live in this world, and there are many influences of this world that are not godly, that are selfish, that are self-centered, that are evil, those influences begin to take root in our thoughts and minds, whether we realize it or not. So if this relationship with God is not kept at the top of our list, then honestly, nothing else in our life is going to end up right. You know, you see people that are wealthy, but very lonely. You see people that are sick and victims, but don't know how to get out of it. It's because this isn't right, you know. So I want to start in 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. And I give you guys a little flyer, handout. Some of my fellow sisters in Christ laughed at me. So I usually don't do handouts, but I think this is a very nice one. Very nice. My husband actually put it together for me. Thank you, Barney. But this word fellowship that we're going to look at is used, I think it's 14 times in the New Testament. So I gave you this sheet because I really want to encourage you as we go through these usages that later, for a little homework assignment, you sit down with your Bible and look at the context, you look at the words in the sentence, and you allow God to show you what He needs to show you about this teaching today. Okay? Because this is just like our relationship with God is very personal. Like, God works with Bob Linfelt differently than He's going to work with me. He works with me differently than He's going to work with Springley. you know, but it's still God working in us. Okay? Well, Jesus Christ works differently with all of us too, I believe. He's the head of the one body, right? Okay, so there has to be a relationship there. You have a body on your head, correct? And many times in the Word, God uses a physical body to teach us stuff spiritually, right? Well, the reverse is true. We learn from those examples how to walk together too in this body. And in your physical body, if your head didn't give you direction, then what would you do? We'd probably all just die because we'd just sit there. Your head gives the direction. It tells your arm to move. It tells you when you're hungry. It tells you when to drink. So you're hungry at different times than I am. So, you know, your head's going to work differently with you than mine works with me. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's a unique relationship that we have, just like we all have unique parts in the body to play, you know? Gosh, I couldn't lead songs like Mike Barbera if I had to. I'd lead songs, but they wouldn't be as good as Mike Barbera, I can guarantee you. But it's just that God has this wonderful, unique family that He's put together, and I'm telling you, the only one that could direct us the way we need to be directed as a body is Christ. So that relationship is alive and real, and there's practical keys. Many of us understand the spiritual keys. You know, we're seated in the heavenlies. What? We were crucified with Christ. Remember the Word says that? Buried with Christ. Rose with Christ. Seated at the right hand of God with Christ. Spiritual realities. And those are, I understand a lot after 35 years, I better. Now, do I have it all down? Of course not. But the practical sense of that is what God directs us to do from His Word and through the Spirit when He gives us revelation to do certain things. And one of the things that God set up and tells us is that Christ is the head of this body. And before He's the head of the body, I dare say, which we're going to learn more about too, is He's our Lord. He's our Lord. Now, how can you have a Lord and not have a relationship with Him? You might know about Him, but that's not the same thing as a fellowship with Him, as a relationship with Him. I don't know, some of this for some of us is like, whoa, really? Yeah, you know, really. But this is the beginning. We want to look at this stuff in God's Word, and we want to see what the Word has to say, you know, and how to utilize what God teaches us is going to be the best thing we can do, because He only wants good for us, right? Okay, so verse 3, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. So there's three fellowship connections there. Each other, God, and Jesus Christ. There's three. There's not two. There's not one. There's three. But we've already established the most important one is which one? God. Okay? And these things write we unto you that your joy may be full. We're writing these things unto you that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now I want to look at the word fellowship. That's what we're going to zone in on. And it's Greek, koinonia. Thank you, Greg. I saw it the other night. I'm not good with Greek pronunciations, but I was going to try. So koinonia, that's what this sheet's about, okay? Every usage here is that Greek word. Now, this Greek word is also translated fellowship, association, communion. Here's the one that I really, really thought was cool. Joint participation. There's a participation. There is a giving and taking. And it's not just spiritual. Okay? Another way it's translated a couple of other ways is communion, distribution, fellowship. Let's see, one more. Partakers. We're partakers together. So if you partake with somebody, is there some action happening? Yeah, absolutely. So 1 John talks about this word fellowship, and this word fellowship here tells us that there is a sharing. In some places, I'm going to show you where Walter Cummings here, when we get to a couple of these, actually translates it denoting a partnership. So there is a partnership that's happening here, not only between us and God and us and each other, but us and Jesus Christ. And what I want to try to understand, and I think what we all want to try to understand as the weeks go by, is what that personal relationship, how does it work in our lives? Okay, that's what we want to try to understand, because it's a benefit to have it. So let's look at Acts. The first place it's, this word fellowship is used, the book of Acts. You know, there's a lot of things we already know in our from the Word, and we've seen from the Word. You know, we pray to God in the name of Jesus Christ, right? The Word tells us to put on the mind of Christ. The Word tells us to put off the old man, put on the new. There's a lot of direction on what we're supposed to do with the God and Christ in us. You know, with that new nature, Jesus Christ is our new nature. So let's kind of see what that new nature really has that can come into manifestation in our lives, that can bear fruit in our lives and help us bear that fruit. So Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they gladly received the word, were baptized. This is, you know, on the day of Pentecost, Peter's had the, you know, where he got up there and did his sermon and confronted the guys that crucified our Lord. And then as a result of this, then they, the people that were here that heard, that gladly received the word, were baptized, and in the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. That's our word. It's a full sharing. So they continued in the apostles' what? Doctrine. And they fellowshiped, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. So there, to me, is an indication of part of what fellowship is with one another. It's remaining in the doctrines, and it's having food together, bread, whatever, tortillas in San Diego, burritos, whatever. And they prayed together. And that is that word that we're looking at here, where there is a mutual partnership. There is a full sharing. It is not just an acknowledgement that this exists, but there is a participation. And that's the word that I think really, when I saw this word and I kept looking at it, and several people, when you look in some dictionaries and Bible dictionaries and commentaries and stuff, that word kept coming up. That word participation and the word full sharing. Those were some of the things that was really identified with our relationship with Jesus Christ. So let's look at 1 Corinthians. Here's another one. 1 Corinthians 1. You know, it's really interesting too, because I really encourage you guys to get out a concordance and some Bible study books, because this word is translated differently in other sections too, but you'll see we'll see a couple of them today, but we're not going to see all of those. As you see that, it still has the same essence of what we're talking about today. It still means the same thing, even though it's a different English word. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye are called unto the fellowship of his Son, Christ Jesus our Lord. God is faithful, and he's the one who's called us into this fellowship. He's the one who had the master plan. He's the one that set it up where we could believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, and that He is our Lord and Savior. God set it up. And part of this setup, it says right here, is we are called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Okay, so what does that mean practically? You know, I know what it means spiritually, but what does it mean in my practical day-by-day walk? Look at 2 Corinthians, I think it is, yeah. 2 Corinthians 6. This is a pretty good one. In fact, I think I'm going to use Walter's for this one. So give me a second here to find out Walter's. Walter Cummings, a lot of us know, is a Greek scholar. He's very meticulous. He's very careful with his handling of God's word. And there's a lot of great work that Walter has done. And this is his A Journey Through the Acts and Epistles. I think, do we have them in our bookstore? No, but we know how to get them, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is a really great working of this section too. So I thought I would read it from Walter's because it has a little more to it than the King James. So 2 Corinthians, chapter 6. It's also hard to find things in. Not hard, but I'm just not used to it. Because he has a lot of explanations, so there's a lot of pages here for these chapters. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6, and the verse we're going to look at is 14. And it says here, and this is a familiar verse to most of us, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship," there's that word, "what partnership, what communion hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Baal, or what part hath he that believeth in an infidel, with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now I'm going to read Walter's. Okay, starting in verse 14. "Be not equally unyoked with unbelievers, for what partnership has justice with lawlessness? Or what fellowship," and it's that same word as partnership, that's the same Greek word, "hath light with darkness? What harmony does Christ have with Baal? Or what share does a believer have with an unbeliever? What agreement has a sanctuary of God with idols? In fact, we are a sanctuary of the living God, even as God said, I shall dwell in them and walk with them and shall be their God, and they will be my people." I think as we look at this word, it becomes more and more evident that, you know what? Fellowship is a really big thing. And who you fellowship with and how you fellowship with people is a really big thing to God. I mean, God's telling us, don't fellowship with unbelievers. Now, there's a difference between fellowshipping and talking. You know what I mean? Of course, we get along with everybody, and we love everybody, and we reach out with God's love and God's word to everybody. But that's another indication to me that this is different. The fellowship we're talking about, the full sharing that we have with God Almighty and with Jesus Christ and with one another, is a different, more unique type of fellowship. It has depth to it that I would really like to understand more, especially in light of my fellowship with Jesus Christ. So let's turn to 1 Corinthians 10. We're going to start in verse 15. This is, in this section, you're going to see a couple of the other ways this word koinonia is translated, okay, as we read through this section. And this section here is where Paul is actually confronting the Thessalonians about idolatry and what they're doing wrong. So let's read this, and it's really a great section. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion, and that's our word, that's our Greek word, is it not the communion or the sharing of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the sharing or the partaking of the blood of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers. That's our word again. That's that word, that Greek word, koinonia. How do you say it again? Say it again for me, Greg. The Greek word, koinonia. Koinonia. Boy, I tell you, my Oklahoma tongue cannot get around that, can it? But you know what I'm talking about, people. Fellowship here. But that's the partakers is the same Greek word. In verse 17, behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? That's our same word. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. That's the same Greek word. You know, God doesn't tell us just to have who to have fellowship with, but he tells us who to avoid having fellowship with. I don't want you to have fellowship with the devil or demons. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of the devils. Ye cannot be partakers. You cannot share and be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of the devils. You know, it sounds really, really whoa. But you know the simplicity of this is? The things of this world that we get caught up in at times, get elevated above God, those become idols to us. And God does not want us to have anything before Him. He wants our fellowship with Him to be the first and foremost thing in our life. You know that? So he's telling these guys, and these guys, the stuff they use to sacrifice to their idols, I mean, they're sacrificing food and all kinds of things. Don't partake with that. Don't sit down and eat food that's been given to idols. Just read the context of this thing. It will amaze you. And think about our world today and the temptations in which we get tempted with. You know, we don't have a bunch of idols, you know, like pagan idols sitting around town. Well, maybe. But not as blatantly. I guess I better correct that. Some things are, but you know what I'm talking about. In the Old Testament, in the biblical times, you know, they were like dressed up like, look at pictures of India, right, Josh? Aren't there idols all over the place, just blatant idols, you know? And they dress them and they put flowers on them and they bow down to them. Now, you don't see that so much in the United States. But what about power? What about manipulation? What about, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back till I don't need you, then I'm going to make you look bad so that I can be someone that is exalted. See, that stuff is just as evil as sitting down, bowing down to one of those idols, guys. And part of our walk with Jesus Christ is that we're told to put His mind on. We're told to put His heart on. And to walk Christ-like. And that's part of what this fellowship is doing that. Okay, I'll keep going. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Here's another spot. This word is used. Well, one of these days I'm going to get this Oklahoma tongue to be able to pronounce some of these Greek words. I can pronounce agape. Agapeo, which is really kind of cool for me. Okay, 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 4. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And I want you to read the context of this, okay? This is really cool to understand in context, but we don't have time today. But they're talking about taking upon themselves the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. That's the same Greek word. Now, how could anyone minister to anyone else if you don't participate with them? if you don't have a relationship with them, if you don't communicate with them. And I'm not talking about praying to Jesus Christ. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about having a relationship with him, you know, an acknowledgement of him in your life, you know, a direction, asking direction even, you know, what do you want me to do today? How can I minister in the body? He's the head of the body. He's the one who gives the direction. So there's got to be some kind of communication between him and us. Just like there's communication with Bob and Barney, and Jan's not here today, but, you know, they're ministers. They've taken on the responsibility. Do they never talk to you? Of course not. They have to know you. They have to have an intimate relationship with you to minister to you. You know, this isn't like some woo-woo-woo thing. This is honestly taking a look at God's Word and seeing what does it say about this. I mean, we have power because of Christ in us, don't we? Yes, we have great power because of Christ in us. In fact, according to the Word, every knee in this universe has to bend to Christ. So if he's in us and he's leading us and directing us as an individual, then that authority and power we carry, right? So the knees have to bend to us. And I'm talking about principalities and powers. I'm not talking about, you know, people bending. You understand that. You know, that's part of our spiritual reality with Jesus Christ. So it's really a great thing. Okay, here we keep going. Let's see if we can get through all of these. Galatians 2. It's amazing to me how many times this is really used once I started sitting down and looking at it. Don't ask me how come it took me so many years. I have no clue. But, you know, God is a patient, gracious God with all of us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me. This is Paul, of course, talking about guys from Jerusalem. They gave to me Barnabas and the right hands of fellowship that we should go into the heathen and they into the circumcision. That's the word we're looking at. They gave to him the right hand of fellowship. And then it says that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So there had to be some communication between those guys, which way one was going to go and which way the other. It's the same word here that's in 1 John when it talks about we have that fellowship with Jesus Christ. There had to be a communication with them. And, of course, there was. As you read the Word, you find out lots of things happen. Okay, let's go to Ephesians, I think it is, 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And this is a wonderful section with Paul writing here about the mystery. Verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship or the participation of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things. By Jesus Christ is not in the Greek text. But, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. What is the fellowship of the mystery? Who can tell me? What was the mystery? That's right, that the Jews and Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body. And does that include us today? Absolutely. That all men see what is the fellowship. That word fellowship could be translated participation. What is the participation of the mystery? That indicates that there is a mystery and we partake in it. It's something that we do. It's something that happens. So we want to maybe read that section a little bit more and see if we can, God can show us a couple of things about it. Okay, Ephesians 5. I think this is the third time that God indicates what we shouldn't fellowship with, just in this one word that's used 14 times. So out of 14 times, at least three times that I can remember in my mind here real quick, he kind of gives us this heads up, people. Okay, verse 11. And have, well, let's start in verse 10. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. How much? With the unfruitful works of what? But rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done in secrets. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by what? See, and let's make sure when we reprove, we're reproving with the Word of God. When God tells us to. It's a walk with God. You know, reproof isn't something to beat each other up with. Reproof is supposed to be done with the love of God so that the light of God's word gets through and healing or restoration can happen, whatever the situation is. And it's a walk with God. You know, it's not something we just do because we think, you know, we've judged somebody wrong. That's not our place. So let's be sure that when we reprove the things, that we reprove them with light and love. But you know what? God just is very, very clear about this fellowship with darkness, isn't he? It is not a good thing to get involved with. And many times it's not a good thing, an easy thing to get out of once you dig yourself in. Philippians chapter 1. Verse 5. This is Paul and Timothy, the Timotheus and the servants of Jesus Christ. To all the saints in Christ Jesus, verse 1, which are at Philippi, and to the bishops and the deacons. It's specifically written, this section here, to the bishops and the deacons and the believers, which is the only church epistle, I believe, that is addressed that way. And it says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. This is a great prayer that Paul has for the believers. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. That's our word, fellowship. For your participation in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That's Paul's prayer for these guys. You know, he understands what God has really put in the path for God's people, because he understood the mystery. God revealed it to him. And, you know, he's like, that your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he, God, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. See, that is, to me, God started this thing, and he's going to keep it going on the right path. It's us that has to stay on the path with him. And so we have to be able to go to God's word and learn and grow, no matter how long we've been in the word. You know, there's, I mean, I don't know about you, but this, I mean, this translation right here, this King James Version, I don't know everything that's in here. And I've taught some things and found out a couple nights ago, you know what, you need to readjust some of your thinking on that section of the scriptures, because it didn't fit once we started looking at it. And you know, it's not always easy to change your mind about something. But you know what? If it's God's word, then we change our minds. We renew our minds. That's what the word of God says. You know, I want to go to, there's a couple of other places, but I'm going to let you guys look at them. The last two that's on the list by yourself. And I want to go back to 1 John, because I want to close here. I had a great conversation with a believer a couple of nights ago about a section of God's word that I had thought a certain way about for many years. And he shared some stuff with me, and we stayed up pretty late talking. And, you know, I have prayed about it and thought about it. And even since that point of time, God has shown me a couple of really cool things about that. That wasn't anything to do with this. It was something else. And I realized that, you know what, God wants us to know as much of the truth of his word as we want to know. So the most important thing for me is to keep this right, to keep humble and meek to my Father. And to understand that it is at him, it is him that is at work within me both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And he did set up a relationship, a fellowship with Jesus Christ, like it talks about in 1 John. And I said that God works with us differently, right? And I believe that Jesus Christ works with us differently too. I think it's a very personal relationship. And I think that God has to really direct that relationship and lead each one of us individually into an understanding of what that fellowship with Jesus Christ would mean to you personally. And I want to give you a little example that I have realized after many years of doing something a certain way. You guys know that. You've heard me teach this sometimes. I make this statement. When I get in a hard spot and I don't want to do what the Word says, I just look in the mirror and I talk to myself. Or I might be in my car, so I'm not looking in the mirror. And I just say, Vicki, now that's what the Word says. You got to do the Word. I don't feel like doing, I don't care. You got to do the Word. Now you can do it. Come on. You can do it. Remember this verse. Remember that verse. And I have this conversation with myself. I realized the last few months, in and of myself, I can't renew my mind to God's Word. And I believe that when I have these conversations, and I've had them for years, and I've always thought it was me just being able to control myself, make myself do the Word. Now, I have to be the one to change my mind, don't get me wrong. But that conversation of encouragement that I had within myself to bring myself to that point where I say, yes, that's right, it's God's Word, and I'm doing it, and I'm doing it with my heart in the right place, and I mean it, and I'm moving forward. To get me to that point, I always thought it was me talking me into it. Now I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ directing me to do it. It's like a little nudge. He just, you know, it's like this little nudge. Come on. Come on, you can do this. You know? And I tell myself, put on the mind of Christ. And yeah, put on that mind of Christ. You know? And all the time I thought it was me, you know, getting myself to a certain place. But now I really believe it's him. It's that Christ in me, working in me to get me to that certain place where I can say yes to what my Heavenly Father has directed me to do. And isn't that what God does? He sits right at the right hand. I mean, Jesus Christ, he sits right at the right hand of God. You know, in the Gospels, you guys, when he walked on earth, what did he say? I never do anything of myself. I always do the Father's will. Right? Now, do you think that's changed now that he set it at the right hand of God? No. No. He's still doing his Father's will. Because his Father's will is for him to be the head of the body of Christ, which is us. His Father's will is to be at work within us. He put his Spirit in us. God and Jesus Christ are still just like this up there, you know? But he has a very specific function in the body. Jesus Christ does. And so do we. And he's the head and he directs that body. So this word fellowship definitely has an indication wherever it's used, and even in the other ways it's used, even in participation or partakers or communion or distribution, it is still the same Greek word that indicates there is a mutual partnership, there is a communication, there is a full sharing in our fellowship with God, with his Son Jesus Christ, and with each other. And if we can keep this one straight and the one that in the one body that Jesus Christ works with us in, then us together, oh my gosh. We will be a force for the devil to reckon with as a body, as a church. And that is what we should do. We should be able to stand for God and for his Son Jesus Christ in any situation, every circumstance. And sometimes we need help from each other, and sometimes we need prayer, and sometimes we need just to sit down and read the Word, and sometimes we need a hug. And Jesus Christ is the one who directs that among us in the body of Christ. So far, that is what I've seen from the scriptures and just this little study I've done right here. And there's much, much more in there. I'm sure of that. And that's one of the reasons that we're going to be teaching on the attributes, characteristics, the way Jesus Christ walked, the way he worked with people, the way he looked to God for everything. Those examples are in God's Word. And I think the more we can know about him and the more we can understand how he functioned with God then, how he functions with God now, seated at his right hand, the more we're going to understand our relationships with God, with him, and then be able to work collectively in the one body together in a much greater way than we already are. And we do work well together. I'm not saying we don't. Don't misunderstand me. You guys are a great body of believers. It's wonderful to minister here and be ministered by you and to be loved by you and be able to love you and break bread with you. And I find that, I honestly find that one of the great joys of my life is to be able to be with a body of believers like you and to love each other. And that is certainly the most important key in anything we learn from God's Word, is the love of God has got to be the motivation of our heart and the direction of our heart towards one another and, first of all, towards our Father. So that's what I wanted to share. And Mike, would you close with a word of prayer for me?